Welcome, everybody, to the Faith Journey Journal. I am your host, Zakiya Robinson, and today I have Jay on. In today's show, Jay is going to talk about the trials after accepting his calling. So many people are called to the kingdom of God to do ministry, but they did not realize that there was a stripping that was going to come along. In today's show, Jay is going to talk about how he navigated through these different trials and experiences and still kept his faith and still allowed himself to be used by God. So go ahead and tune in because this is a show you don't want to miss. Welcome, everybody, to the Faith Journey Journal. I am your host, Zakiya, and I have Jay on today. How are you?
I'm doing great, Zakiya. So great to be with you here today.
Thank you. And so, as you know, we like to talk about people's journey in their faith and just how they came to Christ. Jay is a pastor. Can you tell me exactly where you're pastoring at? Like, where's your location?
Yeah, I'm actually in El Monte, California, FBC El Monte there. I've been there since 1991. So it's been a while, but it's been great.
Good. And Jay is not just a pastor, but he's an author. He does podcasting. He's like hands all around in for the Lord. And I had reached out to Jay because I wanted him to do a podcast with me just to kind of talk about his journey. I think that a lot of people feel that they can't be used after they have been broken, or feel like, you know, like the hand, it's almost like sometimes people feel like the hand of God is just like stripping them away from things. Like you yourself, you have been through where you lost parents, you lost people that was close to you. And it just kind of just, you know, things just begin to fall apart from that. And I want you to just talk about your journey on that, because actually I have a lot of clients right now and it just feels like God have forgotten about them, have left them in the dark, and they're just like, why is all of this happening? And one of the things I try to tell people is that I don't know what why people think when we come to Christ we're not going to go through anything, we're not going to go through a stripping, but I know you have went through some major stripping, and I would like for you to talk about that. So I want to hand it over to you so you can kind of just share your testimony, your journey, and just encourage those that's listening.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate that. And I think you're absolutely right in what you're saying. There is that misconception. Give yourself to Christ, do the things you're supposed to do, and everything's just going to work out. Actually, I think a lot of us know, Zakiya, that it's actually the opposite. The more you give yourself to God, the more the pressure is going to come. Because first of all, you're a threat when it comes to that spiritual warfare. You know, the evil one doesn't attack those who are no threat. I mean, they're just doing what they're doing. And so also there's a refining process, I think, that can only happen through basically being brought to our knees and understanding that, hey, we have gifts and talents that God has given us, yes, but the greatest things that are going to be accomplished are going to be through his power, not ours. Mm-hmm. And we only find that out when we are basically just stripped and fail over and over again. So my testimony, I guess you could say, starts back not too long after being saved. It was in the 90s, actually. And I was really being impressed by God, that God wanted to reach a lot of people through my life. Gave me a real vision for that. I was actually at an evangelistic crusade where I saw a lot of people going out onto the field. And I remember looking at that, and there was just something very strong. The Spirit of God was telling me, it's like, I want to use your life to do great things. But I didn't know exactly how that would be. I was already starting to pastor a church, and I figured, okay, that's going to be the avenue. It's just going to be right there. And God's going to really grow the church and strengthen the church, and people are going to respond, and it's going to take off. You know, especially every young aspiring minister has these visions of what's going to happen. And I will tell you, quite honestly, the next 20 years, basically, I felt like life bent me over and just kicked me in the butt. Just one thing after another. And there I was then about 2009, 2010, and just all chaos started to break loose. Financially, the church was struggling. We were struggling. I had living behind us, my mom and my dad. I was very close to both of them. And my mother-in-law also would be over like half the week. And she was like a second mom to me. And my mom suddenly, even though she'd really never been sick in her life, very active, just, you know, everything, suddenly didn't feel well. It turns out she ended up with cancer at 63 mm-hmm. years of age. And literally within about 6 to 8 months, she was gone. And that was just a major shock to the system, because I was very close to her. And that just changed, really threw me into a little bit of a tailspin. But, you know, I mean, things are what they are, and God gives you that toughness and you have to go through it. And then after that point, what happened was that about a year later, my mother-in-law, she was over at the house. All of a sudden, we hear barking from the dogs in the middle of the night. She would stay in the back room. We found her on the floor. And within a half an hour at the hospital, she was gone. And now my dad, who's like the oldest of all of them, who had the most health problems, he's got a little bit of dementia and everything, looks totally confused at this point while everybody around him is gone and we're now trying to care for him. It was just a very, very difficult time. And then the church ended up, we were going with another ministry, and then it ended up being like a split, kind of, even though we weren't completely together. A lot of people tied together, a lot of emotions just totally flying. And I felt at that point like I had failed at everything and at everyone. And I was really like trying to figure out and praying to God one night. I said, I just don't understand what's happened. All I was trying to do was the right thing. There was this huge vision that you had placed in my life, and everything is just a mess. And I remember very vividly what I felt like God was really saying to me. Although I didn't hear the audible voice, I definitely heard the voice. And basically it was this. He said, you know what? I need you to remember something very, very well, because if you don't hold on to what I'm telling you right now, the time's going to come where you're going to give up. Just when it looks like all the things that I put in your heart are never going to happen, that's when it will. And honestly, for about the next 5, 6, 7 years, it's not like it just turned around. There were many times where I had to hold on to that promise, knowing that I heard God say that. And I will tell you that there were times where I felt irrelevant to the point where literally, I mean, I wasn't to the point of suicidal, but I could understand how people get there. I thought, wow, if anybody would be there, this would be it. You know, and that, because we lost our home, we lost everything. And it was just one thing after another. But you know what? When I look back at it too, it was also some of the greatest moments of my life, even though it doesn't sound like it, for what God did through it.
Yeah, definitely. It's so crazy that you said that, because one of the things God had did with me and my husband, he moved us from Tallahassee to Houston. And like you said, you got these big plans. He's already showed you kind of like some of the plans as you go. He shows more and reveals more. And so we're thinking, yeah, we're going to go down here. We're going to start the church. And when we start the church, we're going to go out and start doing evangelizing. We have all these plans. Okay, now we do the evangelizing. We start doing what he's called us to do. But everything starts going in the opposite direction. Finances, car problems, home problems, children, just everything that seemed like could be shaken. And then sometimes people will second guess, like, well, did I hear God? Like, God, did you really tell me to move here, or did you tell me to go in this direction? Because it seems like the more I move in the direction I believe you to call me have called me into, now it just seems like everything is starting to turn. But I like one of the things that you had said when we were talking over the phone before we did the podcast, which was you have to be broken in order to be used. Because here's the thing, God don't want a crack in our armor. One of the things I realize is when he's doing this whole breaking, it's like he's stripping you away from your old behaviors, especially if you're prideful, he's going to definitely deal with that area of pride before you're used to the fullest capacity. But it's like he begins to just remold you. It's almost like you're on that potter's wheel and things are falling off and he's picking it back up. He's reshaping and reforming. What was your faith like in this whole process? Did you think about giving up? Was it to a point where you're just like, obviously you did talk about the, you can see how people get to that point of like being tired and just like, yeah, suicidal thoughts. Mm-hmm. Was that your breaking point to where you like, was just like, yeah, this is my breaking point?
Yeah. You know, that word irrelevant that I mentioned, I remember riding down. I had this little motor scooter that I was riding. Mm-hmm. And quite honestly, the reason I had that thing was because I could go about a whole week back and forth on like a gallon and a half of gas. It was mostly economical. And I was writing one day doing what I shouldn't have done. And I was writing in the rain, which you really weren't supposed to do with this thing. And I remember, you know, the helmet's on my head and the water's like on the shield. I can barely see. And I'm just kind of looking barely ahead of me. And I'm thinking, it just doesn't matter. You know, that I actually had, I remember thinking, there's a $500,000 life insurance policy on me. My family would probably be better off if I wasn't even here. They'd be better off with the money. There was a part of me inside that God was crying out saying, you know, that's not true. You know, that's not true. But you start hearing all the voices in your head. And I had to make a decision that I had to reject. And so I'm sitting there and I'm saying, God, look, because I think it's very important to be honest with God. I mean, if you're going through things, you're having emotions, he already knows. So why are we trying to hide it? And I said to him, I said, I don't understand any of this. I got to be honest. I don't understand any of this, but there's certain things that I know are true no matter what. And one of those is you cannot possibly be wrong. I know I can be, but you can't. So even though this makes no sense to me, I know that somehow it makes sense to you. And I know that you're a God who is good. And so the lie that you're just punishing me or whatever is going on, it can't be right. It just can't be, even though I felt differently. And so I think in the valley, in the winter, or however we want to phrase it, the breaking process, we have to remember that certain things are true no matter how we're feeling and no matter what we're going through, and hold on to that.
Yeah, definitely, because our emotions, what we feel, is definitely true. Yeah. And I've been to that point where I just told God to come get me. That was my words, actually. I was like, God, just come get me, because I was in deep depression. Hair was falling out. Face had bumps all over it. And I'm like, I didn't even have this type of acne as a teenager. Yeah. And I remember laying there on my bed because I didn't want to get up. I didn't want to comb my hair. I didn't want to brush my teeth. Didn't want to cook dinner for my, well, breakfast or dinner for my kids. And I was just like, God, come get me. And I thought the same thing, that they would be better without me. You know, like, I'm done. Like, I don't want to do this anymore. And I know there's somebody out there that feels the same way, where you feel like God has called you to so much, but you're going through more than what you could, than what you can handle. One of the things I end up getting to the point of, and I remember telling God I was done, and I heard him say very gently, he said, but I'm not done. Mm-hmm. And so I remember saying, okay, I'm gonna get up, I'm going to get counsel. And I reached out to a close pastor that I've known for many years. And I was just like, listen, I'm ready to throw in the towel with life. And he got me in immediately. And that restored, put back hope in me. And so moving forward, you know, with your journey, you know, did you even let anybody know, like, kind of what you was experiencing? Because I know as men, sometimes men kind of internalize things and don't say a lot of things verbally. Were you pretty verbal with what you was experiencing, or did you kind of stick to yourself?
No, I actually was in a place where I couldn't really say anything. Because not only just being a man, but I was also a pastor. I was supposed to have it all together. I was supposed to be leading. And so how, you know, people, even if you wanted to share with people, most people in that situation can't handle the fact that you're struggling. My oldest son, it was around the time that he was just starting to drive. And I remember everything was chaotic. He was driving the car, which was, you know, something to pray about even right there. And I'm in the passenger seat. And I still remember this very vividly. He turns to me while he's driving and goes, Dad, he goes, what's wrong with you? Mm. And I'm like, what do you mean? What do you mean? What's wrong? He goes, I don't know. He goes, you're like depressed or something. And I wanted to tell him, but first of all, I figured it wasn't his problem. I figured, you know, what am I going to lay that on him? And I just turned and said, no, I just got a lot on my mind. Don't worry, I'm fine. You know, but he was right. He knew it. He knew me. And I was, but I couldn't really tell anyone. So I was basically just having to try to handle it, which made it, of course, worse.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad you mentioned that, because being a pastor myself, that is a concern. Like, especially when you're in the public eye, people see you all the time. You know, you're, you know, have people that's, you know, under you. And the crazy thing is they do expect us to have it all together as if we don't go through things. That's one of the things that actually God have humbled me, and he's probably humbled you in this by now too, is that to just be open and transparent. Like, hey, y'all, I'm going through this too. Like, you know, I face the same struggles. But also when we look at telling people certain things, they almost look at you like you going through this? Like, you're a pastor. But think about all of the disciples in God in the book of, you know, all of God's disciples in the Bible, like they all was very transparent about their persecution and prosecution. And they was very open and honest about what they felt. Person I can just think about is David. Like, he wrote the book of Psalms about his depressions, you know, and going through his wilderness season. And so I do want to talk about books, you know, because you end up writing a book. Can you explain about your book? It's called the, say the first name again of it.
The Audacious Faith
Playbook. Audacious Faith Playbook. Yeah. Talk a little bit about that, because I know that it has some practical steps, especially with just like one of the things is vision for your life, money section, and daily devotions. If you could talk a little bit about that and how it tied into, what you was experiencing.
Sure. So I got to the point where I realized that God through the years had been taking me to different themes, things about life. And this is one thing that we find in ministry. It's kind of sad, but the reality is that 80 to 90% of what the Lord gives us the opportunity to share with people, there's a disconnect. They either don't remember it or they go home and they do the opposite. And so it almost makes you think, well, why even do this? But it's for the 10% who actually do it that makes it worth it. But there were different themes and things that I would hold on to and learn. And then, of course, out of what you go through is what you end up preaching quite often.
Oh, my goodness. Yes.
Yeah. So these themes would come over time and time again. And God just started really putting my heart saying, you know, what you've learned and what I've taken you through, don't let it die with you. You know, you just start relating some of those things out and put them out there. And so I got the burden, and it took me about 2 years. I had about 2 years where all of these different messages and everything that I would come back to were on my phone in the notes section. And I saw that they lined up to just about every area, major area of life that people go through. And then the playbook concept came in, because what God kind of showed me was, you know what? Think about a football team, for instance, and there's certain situations in the game. What do? They call up a play for that particular situation. Well, it's the same thing in my word. There's spiritual principles that just you have to know and hold on to when you're in those situations of life and you call up that spiritual truth or that spiritual play. So that's where the concept came in. And so after about 2 years sitting there and kept trying to start, I finally the book was written in about 2 months.
Wow. Yeah. Once you get serious, it's like, it just takes off, right?
Exactly.
I want to ask you a question, because you have went through so much. How did you rebuild your faith from everything that you was experiencing? What was your faith process of like, just, you know, getting yourself back in order?
Well, even after, you know, everything started and I'm going through that 7 year period after that, and the Lord led me into other ventures that I never would have thought. For instance, he ended up taking me into entrepreneurship and business and finance, which was really ironic considering that we had gone basically broke. So it just shows that God's sense of humor. But we are the most qualified in many ways to help the person that we used to be. So that's kind of, I mean, how do you tell people you understand when you don't? And I think that's part of why God takes us through things. And in that particular process, he started to change, and I felt like still like I was just hitting the wall. Everything I was trying to do, you mentioned that already. You moved, you thought you followed God's direction, and yet everything's going south. Yeah. And so I'm sitting there and I'm finally saying to God, God, again, I don't get it. I know you know what you're doing, but I don't get this. It seems that the harder I work, the more walls you seem to be fighting me on. You're literally putting, I can't, if you're fighting against me, there's no way I'm going to win this battle. Mm-hmm. And basically what I got at that point was, because you're doing this all wrong. You're trying to do everything you can with all your effort to make this work. What does my word tell you? Seek first the kingdom of God, and then everything else will be added. I need you to quit worrying about it, quit trying so hard, and just every day just do what I'm telling you to do.
Wow, that's deep. Keep going.
Yeah, and so what ended up happening was almost immediately when I finally said, you know what, whatever happens, happens. I'm just, who am I supposed to talk to today? Who am I supposed to impart some value to today? Instead of when I would sit down with appointments, because this is what was frustrating. I'd, for instance, be trying to recruit a talented person into my business, right? And I'd reach out to them, start building a relationship with them. And then it would turn into a spiritual counseling type of session where they needed something else. And I'd be like, God, that's not what I was trying to do, you know? But he kept trying to do these different things. So finally, it was like, quit trying to close a sale. Quit trying to do, I'm just going to put people in your path. And you'll find out from me why they're in your path. You're going to bless them one way or another. Just seek first my kingdom. And so when I started doing that, not worrying about it anymore, then he started adding and changing things and doing miraculous things that I never would have even seen coming.
Wow. You know, it's crazy. Like, I'm humbled enough to say that's the season I'm in.
That's tough.
Yeah, because he's given me, like, you know, like this huge vision, and it's like, okay, well, I'm moving forward. And just like you said, because I'm a mentor coach. So that's one of the things, obviously, like, mentor coaching isn't free. So I'm like, okay. And I also do inner healing and deliverance, which is free.
Okay.
But the crazy thing is like, people would try to book for a coaching session, but then it turned into an inner healing session. I'm like, God, what's going on?
Exactly. And you feel like you're giving everything away. I mean, I did the book and I had the vision of all these people buying the book. And I'm going to be straight up honest, because we talked about being vulnerability. I've given away way more books than I've actually sold, you know, but I don't care. I just want it out there.
And you know, the crazy thing when we do that, someone will sow like a huge seed, or someone would like just like, hey, God told me to bless you with this. And it's like, wow. And he'll bring it right back to you. Like, it's because you did that session for free, or it's because you gave those books for free. One of the things God have worked on my heart was to stop looking at earthly gains and start looking at heavenly treasure. Because so many times we want to live comfortably. We want to have enough food. We want to have enough gas. We want to have the rent. We want to have these things taken care of. But and because of that, our motives begin to be tied into more so of a business aspect versus a kingdom mindset. And so we start trying to look at ways of how I can make money, how I can do this. And it's like, we got it all wrong. And I like that you had said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added unto you, because that's also a scripture that God had given me that I stand on now. And it's just like, no, if I seek God's kingdom, don't expect anything, and really do it with a pure heart, He's going to provide everything that I need when I need it. Because God ain't on nobody's timeline. He's on his own. Exactly. And I'm going to give this quick testimony and hand it back over to you, because I think it was last year where we were literally, they giving us a timeline to get the rent to them. And I kid you not, they gave us a certain day at a certain time. The time was 5 o'clock, or we were going to be in eviction court the next day. I kid you not, I got the money to these people a quarter before 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
And I was just like, God, why did you have to have me sweat? Like, but it just showed that he's an on-time God and he's faithful, especially when you're doing what he's called you to do. Let's talk about that turnaround point, you know, just like writing the book, getting the book done. What took place in your life after getting the book done? Did things begin to like really shift for you then, or was it some time afterwards?
It shifted actually a bit before that, which put me in the place to be able to write the book. But then what really God started doing was giving a real vision to get the book. So I developed the companion guide, and then I came up with something that, well, I shouldn't even say I came up with, because it was really God leading, where he said, you need to do something, make it a 100-day challenge. And put it out there. And this was funny because I know how bad I am at follow through sometimes. And for 100 days, for everybody that signs up for this challenge, which is free, for everyone that signs up for this challenge, they're going to get a devotional every night. And yeah, you're going to send it out every night for 100 days. I'm thinking, I have to not mess up for 100 days. Right now, we're on day 83, by the way. And get these things out and put at the end of the devotion, which goes along with the book, each day, please reply to this email and have a question. And guess what? Not only are you going to send this out for 100 days, but you're going to reply to every response you get. But I got to tell you, now, I send out the emails, about half of them get open, which I guess is a pretty good percentage. And there are certain people, especially in some cases, people I've never met in person, that literally respond almost every night. And God is just totally working in their life. And part of the reason they probably respond is because they get a response back once they do. And it's right there where God is showing, hey, you know what? What I'm doing here, it's not you, but what I'm doing here and doing through you is making a difference in some lives. Mm-hmm. And that's just amazing to me in many ways and exactly what I want to do. So it's been a thrill to see that happen.
Yeah, God always told me, don't look at the quantity, but look at the quality. Yeah. Sometimes we're going for bigger numbers and a bigger impact, but then God always brings me back to like, but Jesus had 12 disciples. You know, even though he ministered to many, he only had 12 close. And so not to look at the numbers. And then, you know, obviously when we're doing, we were supposed to, God would add as he sees fit. Absolutely. Now, I want you to talk a little bit about what can people find in your book for those who would like to purchase your book? Like, what are some things that they can find in it? And also what can they get out of it by reading it?
Well, first of all, it's very, I wrote it in such a way where it's like having a conversation. Speaking right to the heart. I didn't want it to sound like a lecture. People get enough of those. I share a lot of vulnerable stuff in the book of things that I went through because I wanted to reach out to people who are going through some of the same things. So there's stories in there. It's very, you know, heartfelt, you know, heart to heart was the style that I wanted to go for. And so when, if it's trusting, for example, is one of them, it'll talk about how difficult it was for me to trust in certain situations and how I learned that. And the book starts off, for instance, on that God sees you, knows you, and loves you. And it starts off right with the saving message of how a person can even know God, right, in the beginning. I wanted that in chapter one because I figure if you don't have that, then the rest of it is kind of a moot point. So, and we go all the way through, and that's really what they're going to find. And then there's questions that go along with it. There's a companion guide that goes. I am probably going to, there are two separate resources right now, but what I'm probably going to be doing is doing like a second or revised edition where I put it all into one book.
Nice. And then what would you say was like your favorite chapter out of all of them and why?
Well, it's hard to pick a favorite chapter, but I would say chapter 8 definitely stands out, and it discusses that vision, that having vision for your life, which then I really go into depth more in the book that I actually have coming out, which is called How to Get What You Want, which is coming out on May 27th. But I really go back to that story I told you there. You know, we're back in the 90s, I had this really strong sense. And then all of a sudden, it's like, what happened? You know, and just where what God showed me during that time and what he's still showing me. So that's probably my favorite chapter that stands out.
Absolutely. And talk a little bit about a new book that's getting ready to come out. We definitely want to talk about that one.
So How to Get What You Want was another thing where I thought I was doing one thing and God said, no, you're not. I'm having you do something else.
Yeah.
When I first set it out, I thought it would be kind of like a crossover type of book that had spiritual principles in it, but kind of came more from a non-believing mindset to kind of, you know, broaden the audience. And the title, I think, still does that. But as I started to write it, I realized, no, It doesn't really work because as we start off in the beginning, what we find out is, first of all, most people don't even know what they really want. No. That's the first thing. And then the second thing is, then people will say, well, you have to have this vision for your life. You know, that even people that aren't believers will quote the verse, where there is no vision, the people perish. Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, that's in every business thing. That's everywhere. You got to have vision. Well, the problem is they don't understand what that verse really means. And what it really means is, where there is no revelation, people cast off restraint. Basically, things go haywire. So in order to have a true vision for your life, you have to go back to the one who actually made you and gave you all the gifts and talents and knew you before you were even created and put you here for a purpose. There's no way to actually know why we're here unless we connect with the one who put us here.
Amen.
And so that's where it starts. And then there's a process through the book. It's very practical. There's, you know, you get from, how do you get from point A to point B? And there's a map there, mentors, accountability, prayer for purpose. And by the time you go through that road and God takes us through it, then we get to the end where it's like, wow, I'm not the person I used to be, but now I'm here. Kind of like very similar in the Bible to Joseph. The vision was there, and yet look what he went through.
Yeah.
But then look at the road at the end of point B, that he never would have known that was the road to get there, but God knew all along.
Yeah. And just think, if he was to tell us, a lot of us would turn backwards. Like, oh, no, I'm not going through that.
Exactly. He would have been like, hey, you know, choose someone else.
Yeah, absolutely. So what would be something encouraging that you could tell those that's listening in that, you know, is experiencing this hardship and just kind of going through the process?
Well, what I would tell people is very, very simple. And that is the same truth that held on to me. God knows what he's doing. Mm-hmm. You may not be thrilled with it right now, and it may be painful right now. But if you look in James 1, for instance, it tells us that even, you know, that just understand what he's doing. The trying of your faith is going to basically, it's going to strengthen you. You're going to grow in ways, and growing hurts. There is a breaking process. Mm-hmm. I would love to tell you, just suck it up and get over it. You know, it's just fine and everything. But I understand, having been there, that no, it's tough. And you're going through pain right now, and you're going through difficult times right now. Hold on, because God has not forgotten you. And he will give you just enough glimpses here and there for you to know that he's still there, that he's still in the boat with you. He's not asleep. And the time is going to come where the things that he put into your heart, you will see them, but you cannot give up. That's not what he would want. And you're going to then be able to turn around in the future and look back and say, yes, God, you were there all along. And now you're going to have those experiences that God has taken you through to also not only move forward, but to be a blessing to those who are going through it.
Amen. And again, tell them where they can find all of your information as far as your books. I am going to put this information in the description, but I'll just for you, like for you to just kind of tell us where they can find you at, as far as on the media website and where they can find your book.
Well, you can go on Amazon.com, very simple, and either look up my name, Jay Gauthier, or you can look up the Audacious Faith Playbook and you'll find it there. It's not very expensive. I keep it low so that it's not a problem. I'm just trying to get it out there. And also you can, the Audacious Faith Play, the Audacious Faith Podcast is on YouTube. We have a channel on YouTube. It's also on other platforms like Apple and Spotify. And also you can reach out to me on Facebook at Jay Gauthier Sr., Instagram, Jay Gauthier Sr., or the Audacious Faith Playbook Podcast. I'm sorry. And also, you could email me at jgauthiersenior@gmail.com, and I will respond to you.
All right. Well, thank you so much. I am going to pray out just for those who, you know, just need a little bit of prayer to go along with their encouragement. So, Father, we just thank you, Lord, for Jay's life right now, God. We just pray that everything that his hands touch is multiplied. We also pray, Lord God, that you will just continue to help his ministry to grow at the capacity that that you want him to reach. We also pray, Lord God, that he just remain humble as he's been, Lord God. We also pray, Lord God, that you just continue to pour into Jay so that he can continue to pour out to others. Father, we pray for for those that listened in today. We pray for those that even watched on YouTube. We just pray that whatever their faith journey is, or whatever the journey they currently on, I just pray that their faith will be increased during this time, Lord God, and that they will not try to sit on their own understanding, Lord God, but they will acknowledge you in all that they do. Father, we love you, we thank you, and we honor you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
And with that being said, you all be blessed. And of course, I will be on as the Lord leads. Thank you so much for tuning in to today's show. Again, I am your host, Zakiya Robinson. And if you are a person who needs inner healing, deliverance, or mentor coaching, please check the description and sign up for your free consultation today.